And so we find Lot, at least two virgin daughters, a wife, and we find sons-in-laws. Now, because of the betrothal ways that they had back then, I'm not sure whether these sons-in-laws were betrothed to these virgin daughters who had not entered in yet, but or whether these were sons-in-laws to other daughters. It's really not clear. However, we do know that they were less than 10. Because God said, for anything, you know, over 10, I'll leave it alone, but less than 10. So we do know, of course, that four went out eventually, but it could have been a higher number because of these other daughters and sons-in-laws. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, that's the angels, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, the angels said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee." I'm emphasizing, look not behind thee, I'll come back for a reason. "Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain." And I'm emphasizing, escape to the mountain. He was told by the angels to escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die." Now, I want you to think about that one for just a minute. These angels had just done many mighty, wonderful miracles in his sight. They had delivered him from death. They had blinded the guys where they couldn't even find the door. The angel said, "Go to the high mountain where you'll find life." And he said, "No, I can't trust you that far. Now, thanks for your help up to this point. I'm taking over now." And Lot then turned and said, "Here's a little city, Zoar. It's just a little city. Let me turn and go into this place, not the high mountain, because if I go to high mountain, they'll get me, eat me up." Or some similar kind of... Are you seeing this picture? I want you to see that these are the same ones who had just delivered him through many miracle acts. He's now arguing and saying, "I can't trust you to go this far." This reminds me of the story in the New Testament where God warned us about the sin that was committed at the waters of Noah. And there, they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Israel had been delivered by God, walked through the Red Sea dry shod, saw the water standing up, had a pillar of fire at night, a cloud in the daytime, and now they're saying, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Are you finding this basic idea the same thing? The idea here is, after one deliverance, after another supernatural miracle, proof that God is in it, then they argue about the next step. But instead of talking about a history lesson, what's the possibility? I'm talking about situations in our lives where we've seen the hand of God moving in our lives. We praise God for it and we say, "Thanks, I'll take over from here. I can't trust you to go to the high mountain. Why, some evil will befall me over there. But let me turn aside to the little city." So he turned aside. What verse was it, please? Do you remember? I'll go back to 19 for a minute. "Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou both magnify thy mercy which thou showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" Now, some of you have been delivered from society, even religious society, and you've gone on with God out of the big group. And you're turning right around and saying, God, thanks for delivering me from the big group. Here's a little one over here. Let me join up with these guys. Isn't it a little group? Won't things work out there? For you see, we are social creatures. And we are people with needs. And we do notice that when we gather around in the larger groups, somebody says, well, a good apple never turned a bad apple good, but bad apples in a pack influence the good ones. Is that right? And pretty soon the whole society is rotten. And so we've noticed in even our Christian walk and Christian societies, have you, that the bigger ones are not really spiritual anymore, but more interested in physical things than spiritual things. Is that all right? So God delivers us out of that, tells us to go off by ourselves, where we're trusting completely on God at the high mountain, and what do? So, well, thanks, Lord, for your deliverance. I'm glad you got me out of that mess. Now give me a small, a Zoar, a little group. Is that all right? Do you see what I'm grabbing here? Now, I'm not finding fault here. I want you to see something. See, Lot was a righteous man. Is that right? But I want you to know something. The same things that go on in the big groups go on in the little groups. You won't believe it, but you have time and you'll find out. May not always be a corrupt hierarchy, but there will be some form of thing that's going on in there, and it doesn't matter. Now, in this room, I'd like to say this, and say this with all sensitivity, really. I am absolutely convinced that we are at the end of a corporate society in God. And God is calling us each to our own mountain, a high mountain apart, where God can speak to us individually. Now, for this reason, and to show you proof of it, this is the last meeting. I'm leaving. And you say, how's that proof? Well, let me tell you something. Most preachers would give their left arm for a group like this. Because you know what happens in the minds of most preachers? Oh, boy, let's organize, right? And we'll start our Sunday meetings and have our Sunday school, right? Is that okay? Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, this is a Zoar idea, and I'm not finding fault with it, because Lot was a righteous man. But let me tell you something, and this may be a pun, hun, but if you do, you're going to have lots of trouble. You're going right out of the frying pan into the at this stage. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to end our corporate worship forever, because on the last day, the great day of the feast, we come back again. Can you see it? We come back again. There's nothing wrong with having good, solid Christian friends. There's nothing wrong with getting together. But once you start organizing, once you set up another form of society, then you've gone right back into that thing you've come out of, and you say, well, we won't do it that way. Well, maybe you won't, but perhaps your children will. Can you follow that line of thinking? Your children or, you know, someone who follows after you, your progeneration in one way or another, maybe not literal children, but spiritual children. Those who come into your, well, Sunday school class eventually will get back in their old team, and pretty soon you yourself will find yourself offering bicycles during the attendance contests and so forth, and you'll be back in the system that you've come from. Am I hurting you?
No.
Are you upset? Is anybody mad? Anybody mad now? Come on now, try to love me. Well, I sure am glad this is the last one. And I'm not here to hurt anybody, but I am here to warn you that if you turn, you can go to your Zoar. And you can still be a righteous man in Zoar. But I want to warn you, some trouble can occur because of going back to seeking a society instead of seeking a God. Can you see it now? Now, this is a deep lesson. I wouldn't teach this lesson everywhere. I would only teach this lesson to people who have been with us. For those who haven't been with us, I apologize to you. You're our guests. We're glad you're here. We would like for you to just, you know, those things that are too much, wrap it up and put it on the shelf, not find fault with us because you haven't been here when we were laying the groundwork, line upon line, precept upon precept. Is that reasonable? I don't know whether you understand that or not. Let me back off and say it another way. We have been producing for our friends here a lot of meat, deep meat of the Word. Now, the milk of the Word is also delicious, but the meat is for those who are mature. We've been trying to bring our group up in maturity who can understand some of these things, not be mad at those people who are still at Zoar, and not be mad at those people who are even in Sodom and Gomorrah. Whether you're hearing me or not. But we found out through our maturity that God is sovereign. And God can actually bless and love every person. Now that we're in the New Testament, Jesus Christ actually provided the way out for everybody. And to make it even worse, Jesus said in the New Testament, publicans, sinners, harlots can get into the kingdom before the church girls. Now that's pretty tough, isn't it? Now the reason for that is not that we're teaching our girls to be harlots, but we are trying to tell you that it's a condition of the heart, it's a condition of the development of the soul, and once we put our robes of righteousness around us, and we group together and say, us guys, we're Moses' disciples. As for this fellow, we do not know whence he is. Those kind of people are going to be in trouble. As we are finding our own righteousness, making the path to God, instead of following the path that Jesus made. For I discovered my righteousness is as filthy rags. And so I quit trying to make a path with my righteousness. What I'm doing now is just praising God for the path Jesus already made. And I think that this is the way into the kingdom. It's the way to righteousness, peace, and joy. For when I was finding my way into the kingdom through my own righteousness, I found I lost my righteousness, my peace, and my joy, because I was never doing good enough. Now that I've quit trying, I am doing good enough. If you can follow that logic. Okay, where do I leave off now? I don't have any idea. Thank you. And he said to him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, and Zoar is there today. The sun was risen on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Does anyone have a Lamps of Bible? Not here. All right. Lamps, it says in the Aramaic that the pillar of salt is a idiom for fright, extreme dying of fright. It's an idiom of speech. Now, I'm not here to tell you that she died of a terror or fright, because the King James says she turned into a pillar of salt. However, if we read it from the Aramaic and understand idioms of speech, is that okay now, idioms? Then, in this case, the idiom would say that she died of fright. She turned back, it says. She looked back. Maybe it was warned not to look back. Is that right? And when she looked back, she idiomatically died of fright. Now, if you don't understand idioms, let me tell you about the full gospel businessman who went over to Tokyo. Now, come on. You don't understand idioms. The full gospel businessman went over to Tokyo, and there he was giving his testimony about his wife. And it's something about how she had said something or another, and it just tickled her to death. Well, and the translator didn't know how to handle this idiom of speech, and so he told all the Japs that were listening that she scratched herself till she died. Well, sometimes translations have to be done rather loosely when we're working with idiomatic forms of speech. Is that correct? And we wouldn't want a literal translation here when he said she was just tickled to death. Because it just doesn't work out. And so in this case, whether or not the lady turned into a literal pillar of salt, or whether this is an idiomatic expression, I'm not here to dogmatically say. And if you're a fundamentalist, and if you're absolutely convinced that the King James is the Bible Jesus used, then then have it your way. And, have a very salty. But if the Aramaic expressions, the idiomatic expressions, seem to cause more sense to be given to this passage, is that all right now? Then you may want to see that the woman died of fright. And why? Because she turned back. And she looked upon that society. And why did she die of fright? Well, she had daughters there. That's where her security was. I want you to hear this. And when you let out and you turn back and you look back, the first thing that happens is great fear comes upon you. Oh my God, are you sure that this is right? I'm let out. It's scary out here. You see, when I'm in society, I have society to help me. That's why I have a CB unit on the wing. Because in case of trouble, I can press the button and get help. And I enjoy society for the help that society offers. But when I'm out following God all by myself and have left society and I turn back and look at society, it's pretty easy to want to go right back. And we'll get into some scriptures in a minute which will show you how society is calling to us to come back and put our faith, hope, and trust in her. Okay? Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. I'm emphasizing that's the high mountain. He looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, behold, all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of the furnace. Now it came to pass as God destroyed the cities of the plain, but God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. Now, here's the story. Lot stopped, went to Zoar. Now, Lot's leaving Zoar because of all of the, can I call it fallout? Basically, it's the trembling, the rumbles, the smoke, the fire smoke and brimstone. I imagine everybody there was coughing, about to die. And we know that they thought that everybody, even in Zoar, had died because these girls, when they got to the top of the mountain, were convinced there wasn't anybody left. You see, so it must have even been in Zoar, that Zoar was not destroyed, and the people, life was maintained in this little city. Still, they thought it was destroyed. That's the point I want to get. So now he goes up to the mountain. The same mountain Abraham was on. Now, if he had gone to the mountain when he was told to go to the mountain, he'd have found Abraham. He'd have found the whole household of Abraham with all of the servants. And those girls wouldn't have gotten that idea. You see it? But because of disobedience, because he should have done what they told him to do, because they know there are lots of things that are beyond the step we're taking. Come on now. God knows many things way down the road. And we say, uh-uh. Don't you understand, God? This is the way. I'll walk in this. He said, no, this is the way. Walk in it, because I'm trying to lead you to something that you don't have any idea about. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that many thousands of dollars were spent on my own education when I went to New York University, to Purdue University, University of Illinois, the Chicago campus. IBM sent me to these places to learn to teach. And I know that I was going to those places to learn to teach. Now I know not to teach electronics like IBM had hired me to do, but I'm teaching Bible. And I'm learning, and I'm using the same techniques that I learned many years ago. Though at that time I had no idea, it was the farthest thing from my mind. I had not seen or heard, what God was preparing me to do. Is that making sense? How many can relate that to your own life? and see the hand of God when you were 6 years old. Huh? You believe that? Well, I remember when I fell in the well. There had to be an angel there that day. God had some further plans. Yeah. And I remember when the ship, I was on a submarine that was sinking, and we didn't know why it was going sinking, and boy, we were scared too. I was scared too. There were a lot of sailors praying that day when we were going down and couldn't figure out why the submarine was, you know, I'm too young to die. All those things. I remember those things, but I know that the hand of God was there all the time, protected us, and got us out of a lot of messes. Would you agree that God's gotten me out of a lot of messes? Uh-huh. Praise God. There's a reason. He brought us back, and here we are. We have a destiny. It's not over for us. Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt on the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. I bet he feared. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. Now the first woman said to the younger, our father is old. There's not a man in the earth to come to us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we'll lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made the father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with the father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in, lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made the father drink wine that night also. He must have been he was a pushover for the wine. I can see that. And they made the father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Okay, calling your attention to the fact of going back, turning back. Look, not back. Don't go back. Now, Lot's wife had great fear, and her desire was to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the fear of being outside her structure, in other words, she had learned how to operate within this form of society, and she was very upset at having to leave that which she was familiar with. I'd like to stop here and talk about human psychology for a minute. Those who design department stores have noticed that after the department store has been in operation 10 or 15 years, if they change the location of the departments, if they move everything around, it just causes havoc, and they lose tremendous in the sales. Now, there is a certain area within that they change, but you always know that the men's side is over there, and shoes are back here, and, you know, pillowcases are over there, right? And it's always been like that, and they'll never change it. Because the same thing that drove Lot's wife to this frustrating fear causes a lot of other men's wives to leave that department store and get real mad when they shift everything around without asking them. How many can follow that form, that line of reasoning? It's true. So we just don't like that. I don't know how. Do you know that when the president changed the name of Cape Canaveral to Cape Kennedy, everybody was naturally thrilled? Oh, no, they weren't. They passed laws in Florida to put the name right back where it was. And so now Cape Kennedy is the military base, and the city is Cape Canaveral, back where it was. Because the people had been trained that way, the stationery was named out, you know, and on and on. And people just don't want to change. Now, I'm no farmer. I was raised in the city. But they tell me that cows are a lot like people. Well, people are a lot like cows. They always go into the barn the same way. Is that correct? If you have milk cattle, is that right? And they're always one after the other, and they'll always form and line up the same way. And we want the same way, too. So when we come to Sam and Leon's and somebody's in our seat, okay. Come on, Bessie. Somebody's got my stall. Somebody's in my place. Am I talking to anybody here? We find security in familiarity. Is that correct? Familiarity brings a security. It's a form of security. Now she's out by herself, and she's very insecure. But I've noticed something about the folks who come to our meetings. They've already passed this test. How are you to never got this far? Up the road. Not alone listening to the theological ideas. Because you've already been willing to move out and to come to places and see things a little different. Now, to me, the greatest challenge and the most fun that I have is whenever I go to a place and somebody shows me a new way to look at the Word of God. Now, to me, that's my fun. That's where I get my kicks. When I see something new, or even the possibility of something new, I check it out. I don't always agree with that which new idea, but I check it out and I always pay attention to it. And I have here in my pocket a little paper that I write on, like my notes, whenever I travel, wherever I am, to keep my notes that I go back and check these new ideas out. And that's thrilling and fun to me. And I'm sure you find it the same way, or you wouldn't be here unless your mother brought you. Some people come to the meetings, of course, because of some society or social pressure or something like that. But most of us are here because we want to be and because we find it fun. And most are here, most everybody who comes to our meetings know that everything we teach is going to have a twist, right? You're going to see it differently. You're going to see a lesson differently. It's been in the Bible all the time, but you're going to see it differently. Now, I'm calling attention to the fact that she, his wife, had a lot of trouble because of society, and because of that, she just was frozen with fear. However, Lot was able to move a little further than that, but he said, though I have been delivered from the evils of the great society and the great evils of the society, let me turn aside to a small society. There'll be less evil there. Are you hearing it? Watch it. There'll be less evil in the small society than there is in the large one. Now listen, that's the same principles, the same spirits are in operation everywhere. Come on. And as the small society turns into a large society, the spirits that are there will bring the same evil upon that as well. Now there was a time when we needed society, and we needed to have 10 together. We needed to have 2 or 3 together. But in our development, there comes a time when we can walk hand in hand with God alone. Is that all right?
This Bible teaching by David Ebel will continue on cassette number 2.